Croem.
What I seek to do here perhaps cannot be done in words. Perhaps it can only be done in music. I want to try to do it in words. I want to give to the tale the architecture which only narrative can provide, the beginning, the middle, and the end, the charged unfolding of events in phrases faithfully reflecting their impact upon the writer. You should not need to know the composers I mention often in these pages, Beethoven, Mozart, Tchaikovsky, the wild strummings of the bluegrass fiddlers, or the eerie music of Gaelic violins. My words should impart the very essence of the sound to you. If not, then there is something here which cannot be really written. But since it's the story in me, the story I am compelled to unfold, my life, my tragedy, my triumph, and its price, I have no choice but to attempt this record. As we begin, don't seek to link the past events of my life in one coherent chain like rosary beads. I have not done so. The scenes come forth in bursts and disorder, as beads tossed helter-skelter to the light. And were they strung together to make a rosary, and my years are the very same as the beads of the rosary, 54, my past would not make a set of mysteries, not the sorrowful, nor the joyful, or the glorious. No crucifix at the end redeems those 54 years. So I give you the flashing moments that matter here. See me, if you will, not as an old woman. 54 today is nothing. Picture me, if you must, as 5 feet 1 inch tall, plump, with a shapeless torso that has been the bane of my adult life, but with a girlish face and free dark hair, thick and long, and slender wrists and ankles. Fat has not changed the facial expression I had when I was 20. When I cover myself in soft, flowing clothes, I seem a small, bell-shaped young woman. My face was a kindness on the part of God, but not remarkably so. It is typically Irish-German, square, and my eyes are large and brown, and my hair, cut blunt just above my eyebrows, bangs, if you will, disguises my worst feature, a low forehead. Such a pretty face, they say, of dumpy women like me. My bones are just visible enough through the flesh to catch the light in flattering ways. My features are insignificant. If I catch the eye of the passerby, it's on account of an acuity visible in my gaze, an honed and nourished intelligence, and because when I smile, I look truly young, just for that instant. It's no uncommon thing to be so young at 54 in this era, but I mark it here because when I was a child, a person who had lived over half a century was old, and now it's not so. In our 50s, our 60s, it does not matter what age, we all wander as our health will allow, free, strong, dressing like the young if we want, sitting with feet propped up, casual, the first beneficiaries of an unprecedented health, preserving often to the very end of life itself a faith in discovery. So that's your heroine, if a heroine I am to be. And your hero? Ah, he had lived beyond a century. This story begins when he came, like a young girl's painting of the dark and troubled charmer, Lord Byron on a cliff above the abyss, the brooding, secretive embodiment of romance, which he was, and most deservedly so. He was true to this grand type, exquisite and profound, tragic and alluring as a Mater Della Rosa, and he paid for all that he was. He paid. This is what happened.